Oder noch ein bisschen mehr Welcome. Mit einem speziellen Welcome Members Board. Der Chairperson der Delegation. Welcome to this meeting. And also honorable members from your weekend constituency work and management who are welcome. Today we are to get a briefing from a demarcation board. A meeting that was prompted by some of the events that were happening in the country. The committee needed just to have an understanding. Actually, what happened, like in the quarters in this day of late in county, when there was a huge debate of a new metro that is supposed to be coming right there. But all aside, we just want to have an idea so that we are able to, as part of local government, be abreast of all the issues of demarcation. Now then, what's better? Item number one, briefing by the board. Amongst ourselves, I'm sure somebody will do the briefing. Okay, over to you. Oh, introduction. My name is Matona Afrimukovic, the chairperson of the committee. Can I request members to introduce themselves? Before the board introduces themselves.
My name is Jack Becker. I'm from the Western Cape, as a member of this committee.
Yes, you're a young man.
My name is John Gunda. I'm from the Northern Cape, the hottest place in the summer and the coldest place in the winter, up winter. And I'm a member of this committee.
I'm Veli Makasana Manzini from Mpumalang, where the three wise men came from, and I'm also a member of this committee. Thank you.
Tunga Matira, member of the committee from Gauteng.
Why did you say Gauteng?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, everybody. My name is Dennis Bloom. I'm a member of the committee, and I'm from the Free State. Thank you. Where they want to incorporate Edenville into, but we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Can we now listen to the briefings?
maybe just to request that I've been moving this milestone, yeah, what month, maybe you could just deal with the major critical issues that faces you.
Thanks very much, Chester Samushan, indeed, US request. Let me start by once again on the board and express our appreciation of the invited to address this committee. From the board side, I must point out that we couldn't have come at a better time because we are really in the process right in the middle, really of the process of reviewing and examining the boundaries. And for us, this type of conversations are quite useful. And we are here basically then to just update the committee where we are, and hopefully then maybe share some of the challenges that we have to face, and hopefully from that conversation, we hope to get some guidance in the future. Jefferson, I would really start by saying, and let me say again, is that the length of the presentation just seems to maybe show maybe an enthusiasm from our side, because this is the first time, in the first time we're addressing this committee. So we really, we started from the beginning, but I have no doubt that at the various levels this committee has been entitled to support. So they're quite familiar with some of the aspects, of the board. I want to start by just, confirming what the committee already knows, that the demarcation board, being a constitutional body, we are appointed for the term of 5 years, and most of you are aware that the really first board started operating in 1999. And then it was followed, by the second board. We, as it were, call ourselves, the third board, and our term would end next year, 2014, in February. And we are separated in the legislation. The board is really composed of 10 people. The legislation does empower the board to be able to operate from 7 up until 10 people. So currently, you see in the slide, these are the members of the board, and in terms of the arrangement, currently, the chairperson is the only member of the board at full time. Now, I must maybe take this moment again to inform this committee that last week, sadly, we lost one of the board members, Gray Castle, Gray Castle, who was assigned to Mpumalanga, a very useful member of the board. She used to be the deputy mayor and the mayor of Witbank. At 30, she was a search at the water board in Mpumalanga, and she's been one of the most important members. So she doesn't pass away. Now, as we sit now, we prior to the course of our tenure, have had two resignations. So we're sitting at actually kind of at 7 now, which, as I've already mentioned, in terms of the legislation, you have to be confident to be able to get out of the function of the coach, as it's said, from 7 to 10. Now, perhaps maybe just the last thing in terms of the status of the board. As I said, we are clearly what we call one of the Chapter 7 institutions, and basically our mandate demands us that we should perform this function impartially and objectively, and we must be independent, and as usual, carry our task without fear, favor, or prejudice. In terms of our leadership of the department, we are funded via COPTA, but we are accountable to Parliament via the Control Committee of COPTA. The manner in which the board is selected reflects the intention of what the mandate of the board should be. Normally, as I suppose, would be a period that I suspect is already underway. There will be the and then there will be two people of judges who actually interview all the potential board members, and the panel is composed of the major stakeholders on local government. Now, Honourable Chairperson, we have always characterized our function as a one is the function of reviewing and determining the economic boundaries. Sometimes people always ask what the difference between the determination and the determining. I've always said the first word is basically determining the economic boundaries. Subsequent words are determining the economic boundaries. So, but it's basic that. And then the close second in terms of our function is the capacity assessment of the municipality, the review of capacity. Function that we've been doing annually from around 2003 and to 2008. We stopped briefly in 2008 to review the model, upon which the function is actually carried. We've since released a report on the capacity assessment of the municipality, which the Honourable Chair would be quite pleased to share with this committee because it is quite an involved work in its own right once that opportunity is obtained. Then the really third and function is the one in legislation that is characterized as providing advice to all the subcommittees to legislation in Auckland. Now, that is one of the functions obviously that was put in the legislation. In terms of that, you'll see that we have we've already been involved in the issue around aligning or harmonizing the service delivery boundaries with the new municipality boundaries together with the strength of justice and social development. The work that was completed but is being reviewed from time to time, and very recently we have been asked if it's something that is done purely to provide advice in terms of obtaining the feasibility of abolishing the cost of from the outside, then we've also done some kind of study with regard to the cost fund. Now, let me then perhaps move without touching the microphone, because the board has been there for 12 years and clearly and a lot of things have happened in the past 12 years, both in terms of the work of the board and then in terms of some of the policies that have actually been formed by the work of the board. What I thought today was a consequence from the guidance that I got from the chair was that we need to deal with the issues of the boundary. But before we go into that, normally we distinguish again this particular function of the board as dealing with outer boundaries, outer territorial boundaries of the municipality. That's one way of the board down. The other work, which we tend to be the source of debate, is the one that deals with the boundaries. Work of the board follows each other. We have to start with the municipal boundaries and then come with the word boundaries. Once we have done with the word boundaries, we suspend every activity on the word boundaries, constraint on the inner word boundaries. So they follow that sequence. Now, I'm not going to go through the issue of the historical background, but basically this was where some of us are coming from, and clearly there was a time whereby the map that is appearing on this slide used to be a very familiar map, and we have actually moved on. But I'm going to move into a slide that is titled the key fundamentals. Now, then people say, Just tell us what exactly then is the board doing in English. Then we say we see the board as an instrument of transformation, primarily to actually give, you know, reverse the apartheid building, the geography and the legacy in actually in our form. The role of the board it is essentially really about the social transformation and reorganization. Just to ensure that we once again pursue the idea of special justice, something that the National Training Commission has now, you know, put that change. We clearly think the work of the board still remains advancing the, you know, integration of our municipalities. In this regard, the issue of wall-to-wall municipality becomes quite critical in this instance, as a principle. And we also see the board, particularly as it's functioning related to the world boundaries, as deepening local democracy. And by that, we're saying we deepen local democracy by ensuring that we really uphold the principle of electoral equality. Rather. You know that in terms of the world, the delimitation or demarcation, to use the word, every ward must always have the same number of voters. And this is really important to actually understand. Because it's a principle that when you actually affect is the one that normally causes a lot of confusion and actually debate. But the idea is the principle that is actually, you know, existing in some other parts of the world that you know, carefully ensure that when it comes to the world boundaries, you have more or less, you know, the same thing. And clearly, overall, we are saying is that if you look at the criteria and the listing of the board is always seen as an enabler in the end to ensure that municipalities are able to perform their constitutional obligation, which broadly means that you know, to ensure that we realize the ideas of the local government. So that's basically what we normally say. Now you see that the third thing we say is that from that map that Alberto showed, what the board has then been able to, you know, to do over the period is this kind of acting so puzzle where we put now all interpreted municipalities in the world to work. But obviously the picture may lie the kind of challenge that actually lies in the world. So briefly, what then and why the process of boundary determination, you know, takes place? And I go to the slide following that net, you know, those four things. You will see that from where we start, our current architecture, basic in terms of local government, we have a category A policies, which are really similar to metropolitan municipalities. And then you've got B, which are local municipalities, and they normally constitute that is the starting point. Now, from time to time, board does get requests from the various stakeholders and from the communities they have served about comfortable boundaries. Now, that changes normally happens immediately after those borders we normally attend to it immediately after the, you know, the local government election, just to ensure that we deal with them, that by the time the next government, you know, in the local government election takes place, they have been attended to. But what normally happens is that in those proposals, there's normally about three possible outcomes. Some of them, which are basically technical, you know, adjustments, you know, those are the ones that share, you know, in our discussion at the technical level with the IEC and some of you, we have to it is where we realign and just, you know, make an adjustment to boundaries for really obvious boundary anomalies. And you see why some of the things happen. And the second possible outcome is where, for instance, there is a proposal to either take a large chunk of one in fact to the next. You know, for example, this time I have to find an argument that was then made by traditional leaders where the Polish you know, a reason to say, you know, it's better if the fiscal mass of a particular, you know, traditional area is in one municipality. So those are normally the instances we actually call, you know, consolidation, where the municipal bound in itself becomes very dysfunctional because, you know, it really splits, you know, the community's, irrational. Then the larger one, and I would explain, is where there is, you know, there is an amalgamation and the consolidation. This is where, you know, two municipalities actually, you know, are merged. And this is where we reach a point to say, as a secondary city, and this is a stage whereby it takes up to be a metro. Now, and then once we have done with this process, what comes after then is the world implementation process. The sequence is very important. Once you start with the world, you'd like to keep outer share stable. And then we are highlighting some of the steps that really kicked off the work in the process. And once that is finalized, clearly then the local government does take it, and the change that has been made for instance in the block on the right hand corner takes effect on this day. So the second, you know, repeat itself in that manner. I would like to, the next slide just basically then tell the kind of the timeline. What I was just explaining is that we are now in the first block, basically where we are living in the whole boundaries. In fact, we are on the upper limit now of this block. This is 2013, where we have to finalize this boundary. I've already said as soon as that happens, which will happen sometime in August this year, then the next stage would be to start work on the road. That would then lead, that would be completed by around 2015, at which those given to the IAC who have to start, you know, to prepare for the local housing. So those are the broad time frames. The next slide, just basically illustrates much more in detail. I will keep it for the purpose of a certain time. But I want to come back to the issue as to these type of intervention that we actually do. I did say that the first part is basically the one that we call the technical or minor intervention. And this is where it's based on a small scale. It doesn't involve people at all. If it does, it's a very negligible number. And normally, it doesn't affect the people that are actually involved. The really intention of this boundary change is either, for instance, because our listeners said we must make our boundary visible, is to try to align that boundary to a visible feature like a road or a river. Or for that matter, to actually ensure that we correct that boundary to be consistent with the cadastral boundary that is available, you know, at that year. So that is a type A. If you look, maybe just skip the other slide. If you look at the map, following that slide, the last slide of type A in page 2, that map illustrates exactly the kind of thing what is happening. You could see that if you look at the black line, so the black line is the current boundary. Normally, that the red one would be oil. I know that this is going to catch up with me. No, that's fine. But I think I have a color CD with me, I don't know. You have to try it. But that is essentially what. So it's a minor alignment, and you could see it's just a correction of actually, you know that boundary, and it doesn't really involve the number of people. Now, then the next one, which I've already explained, if we can pay 1, 2. And three, you know, that there's a math there that actually kind of. Now, I've already said that this is where there is a boundary becomes which is functional. Now, just happen, you know what you see in this math is what typically happens normally in our settlement generally, where you find a settlement develops around. The boundaries. You know, you could as well say that at the time when these boundaries were actually drawn, they're not directly drawn to this deck through these two municipalities. But in time, people have actually grown to settle around that. Now, if you look at that, this is, by the way, 5 years old. A chance of that they may have even more people that are already there. You know, if you look at the people in the municipality over that time, and those that are now in Marble Hall, I mean, it's one community. And yet, you could have found this you know, in between there. So this is where we then say, clearly, boundaries are meant to make quality service delivery effective. We would then propose to say that one is the right line. That's where the boundary should be. In other words, to actually ensure that we take away that wedge that goes in through areas of quality that we know about with one bound, just to effectively ensure that that community is set well, and the boundary is not dysfunctional. So that is typically what it is, and it was a number of the types of examples. But because it involves people, it's not something that we can do administratively, it's something that we can ensure that we follow the due process in terms of actually ensuring that we check it against the criteria and contact with the people involved. The last type of amalgamation, if you can just also take through, I'm just going to be talking the map, is the one that we call amalgamation, categorization. Now, this is where one municipality is combined with mass with the other. And obviously, the effect of that is that after is that succeeds, those municipalities can never be the same again. In other words, they cease to be separate municipalities and form one unit. We just took an example of a proposal that is before us, which is basically the manager of this chair will actually help me. I know that it's UKB and that. So when that actually happens,
you said that on that map, they have already been merged, but really, it's after it has been merged, this is what it will look like.
Yeah, after it's made on the page.
It's on the other side, the data is smaller. In data.
Thank you very much. No, no, there is a copy. Yes, he was insisting for a copy. ladies meet, and then it will form one big mass by the same.
Oh.
Okay.
I want the content, not the net.
Okay.
Even if the proposal of
contamination, they are small. But typically, we find that even if they're small, they may involve. We then visited all those municipalities that were affected by the proposal. And essentially, that purpose of this visit was to say the board has got this proposal for it, and this is how it affects the net bottom. Can we have your views on that? And that process took place right from July and August. But we also used that opportunity to say to the other community to say those that still had proposal to make in terms of boundary changes, there's an opportunity to to do so. We initially gave a deadline of the 15th of December, but there was a request and we were persuaded to actually extend another deadline to the 20th of January last year. Then by the time the deadline was reached, we had over 1,000 of these proposals. I remember when myself telling myself, but that's kind of true. The kind of people wanting to change the country, so much in 1,000 times. But essentially, that's what actually happened. And then because of that, we had to go to another second round of discussion now, looking at this additional proposal. And these were then, reviewed. And they were really, you see that in the tables that I've mentioned, before, just in my presentation, they were reduced. And then we now ended up with a number that is currently of 224. So now you're talking about 1,028 proposals to currently the one that is before the board, which we're taking them to the formal process of 224. It is this 204 where the formal process was based on what we call the Section 26, where we now, as the board said, having looked at this and having seen this proposal, this is now our intention to consider this proposal. Now, it's very difficult to say because I think it's very hard. So some of the events around Tuesday was probably the result of maybe communication around it. Section 26 of the board was the first step to say, this is the proposal before the board. Can we have your view? So that's Section 26. And these were sent out, and they were sent out through national newspapers and newspapers specifically in that area. And even in those proposals were then given for chance, those were issued around November, and this was given up until just the second week of December to actually make a proposal in terms of what is important. In the process, we have been, we have actually engaged with the various stakeholders, and we have specifically prioritized the issue of the provincial houses, which I think with the help of the House of Commissioners leaders in the House, the policy that we able to address all the provincial houses. We had a meeting on several occasions with the Minister of Government and Constitutional Affairs. We had briefed a portfolio committee more than once on these issues. We also had a meeting with the various representative mayors of the metro. And then we have and still are addressing some of the districts, some of the district municipalities where this proposal was actually before. And there has been requests which were honored, and our resources were actually able to take us to even have dedicated meetings in some other localities which were not planned. Obviously, we also had addressed virtually all the towns, all the federal provincial meetings, the provincial recruiters in this regard. Now, this is just to give you an idea, maybe in a table form. I just said these are the proposals that were before the board by January 2012, 1,028, and you can see where the spread. As usual, like I said, those type A, the so-called catastrophic, determinations of about almost 270 of those. The type B, 285, and the trustees in the 74, which are the major one. Now, I mean, this next title, just simply, you know, put it in a different way. And you see once again that just in percentage form, you know, the central adjustment or the minor adjustment always form the bulk of the proposal. And then I move on now to slide. The table that I was referring to, or the case that are now before the board, where they've been taken through the formal process, is the one that has got transferred for total number of terms that we have there. Now you can see that after reviewing the total number of proposals that we actually had, we actually eventually came, you know, to this number. Now, again, the facades are always many. Let me then go to the last of this table, and you could see where we said gems, you know, gems rejected, so they said by gem time. Now you can see that out of the 1,208, we really had to reject about 850, and many of them, and the reason really for rejecting is that because we called for almost half of participation in terms of you know proposal, some of them really were proposal that were either non-practical, sometimes actually proposed something that is not contiguous. In some cases they were proposals around provincial boundaries, which is beyond our mandate. In some cases these are proposals that were not being tested, you know, with, for example, with the agenda policy. Let's just instead, you know, if you make a proposal to a measure, there should be at least some indication of concurrency with affected municipality. By definition, you change the boundary of a municipality, it has to affect that. So, you know, we found that in a bill where, in most cases, just, you know, ambitious. In the proposal of some of the municipalities to annex the territories of the other municipalities. So the table following that, is basically the kind of consultation we did, particular one, those ones that we did in 2011, and those that we did in 2012. And these were just purely pre-1736 visits and engagements. We put in here because we want to illustrate the point that as the board and intent in following, maybe possibly not with the letter, but the spirit of the legislation, we follow it in short, that the committee is part of the board. So this is going to be short. Chairperson, following is the process that we are currently in. Now, the legal process changes the internal process. As I have alluded to, first step, which is basically Section 26 of the Infrastructure Allocation Act, one where we send out the proposal. The term before that I talk about where we actually indicate our intention to consider, you know, the proposal before. And in that proposal, people are given 30 days to actually have their views. We need to then consider all those. But before we take the next step of actually issuing Section 21, let me say, we must consider all those. Then we must do three of the things. We can either we have to do an investigation on the proposal if we feel that we are not in a position to make that decision. Or we should hold a public meeting. Or the board. As the board, we said in principle, where there's a major change, we must do both. We need to have a consultation, but we must also do investigation. In other words, those public consultations will be supplemented by the investigation that we have done. This is the state where we are now. What you may have seen in the media, those public meetings, they are formal public meetings in terms of the legislation, where we are now looking at those specific cases and inviting them for public meetings. These are different from the consultation that we actually have, you know, informal consultation, where we're really trying to see. So this is what we are doing. Now, after that process, if I can move on, the third step would be then, once the board has actually completed the investigation, we use the word investigation, but essentially investigation then means studying, research, and looking at the feasibility of some of the proposals. Once we've done that, we will then issue what we call a September 1 notice, whereby now the board says, this is the proposal that before you are invited to actually have objections. Again, people will be given 30 days in order to do so. After that process, then, the board would then make a decision in terms of that. And we are envisaging that process, we want to complete it by August. But the effect of those decisions, if instances are carried, would only be, particularly where there are major changes, would only take effect in 2016 at the date of the election, you know, the Kakabin election. And I think that is something that I really hope the Honorable House will actually assist us, the Honorable Members, to convey. Because the intention of the legislation is not to disrupt the municipalities is to say the municipality must continue to do the function that it does. The issue of public changes and the status changes must only take place after the municipality of conversation. In other words, when people go and vote in 2016, they'll be voting for totally different things in the municipality. What we actually often find is that people think that once we've made that decision, it has to take place. Although technically it can. As well on the minor changes, the MECs or various other things determine the date that will be effective in terms of those functions, but only the minor. But where, for instance, there are people that are, you know, that are actually not involved, that can only take place. The other members would know that the recent amendment, I think one of the few amendments in the Communication Act established, was the fact that the Minister of Finance ought to be involved in that. In other words, the effectiveness or the date which the boundary change will take effect must be interpreted in such a way that it qualifies in the commencement of the financial year. You know, for reasons that I think to actually ensure that, you know, proper allocation. So that is, you know, the last question. Talking to you, you know, Chairperson was ready that we are still on the second step. And the next slide following those steps is what I will put in here as the, you know, these are the public meetings that have been taken place. We have completed the first round. But during our interaction, it became very clear that in some cases, we were also persuaded that we need another meeting, particularly where, for instance, the municipalities involved, the committees are so far apart and they are unable to help, you know, at one central point. So these meetings, and as I'm talking to you now, two of my board members are chairing two meetings. One in Christie, in Azumba, the other one in that. The one that doesn't appear. So, tomorrow, I think there will be another meeting on that occasion. We actually envisage that the 10th of May will finalize all the in terms of the second step. At which time, then look at what we have in terms of the investigation and the study, and actually take into account what has come into the meeting, and actually make it. Chair, what is following here are the timelines. I will move quite fast on them. It's just really just, you know, to translate that data side into much more, you know, finer details. But I just want to spend the last 3 minutes on that. People may wonder to say, but having gone through this process, what guides the board's decision? And again, we are guided by the criteria that is laid out in section 24 and 25 of the Constitution. And you see that section 24 really is where that basis obliges us as a court of judgment to this boundary, so must be guided by this objective. And if you look at this objective, the section 24 that board determines this boundary, the objective must be established. And so that is enabling for you to all that area to finish in terms of the eating. Those first four bullets are standard from the Constitution. The only exceptions are B, C, and D. So it is not something that the board can dream up and say, can't determine. We have to ensure that if we do, Constitution are guided by the unified objective. Then the following slide just outlines the kind of factors that we have taken into account. And again, you see that the whole issue of the interdependence of people and communities, economy and settlement by existing settlement creation, you see that in fact there's an emphasis on the need for cohesive, integrated and unsegmented areas, including metropolitan areas. And I've bothered that because they're so essential. These legislations are not put in any form of a racial hierarchy. But I was just putting a case to say, if you come to us as a board and you say you want to separate them, you have to persuade us whether that requirement is consistent with us. You know, is it really not different? And this is something that I think I've mentioned, Chen and honorable members. It's a trend that we still need to understand. This succession and having succession in policy. Similarly, you know, so those are the criteria that we would look at and actually see whether what we have as a proposal and what we have is consistent. I'm not going to go through the whole question, but I thought if I could maybe ask for a little more indulgence from the members. Besides this general criteria, there is a specific criteria for metropolitan municipality, which is actually available in the structure of the structure. Basically, what it means that after we've considered what we need to do, if we consider a metropolitan area, then we need to ensure that it also meets additionally the criteria that is in the structure. So, designating a particular municipality as a metro is not a very important. But you must see that the criteria is even much more clear. It has to be a conservation area in the area of life, the identity, people and goods, the development, and the district. Center of economic activity. There's a normative thing about the thing that has been in the government. So, that, I spoke about investigation. Our investigation actually probably the proposal before us again this criteria. And actually, creating the kind of indicator and the threshold that must be met for us to actually ensure that the area is done. Now, I always say to people, particularly on the category A, an area must have a signal category A municipality if that area can reasonably.
That reasonably, I'm told you. No, that's not going to tell me that is very important. It's a very good qualification.
So, in other words, is that it doesn't have to meet at that time. But if we're of the view that the projection system should be pointing out that this area would start exhibiting these features that are in this act, then I've tried to analyze the criteria, but you'll see that in terms of that, when you analyze the criteria, it was very imperative, developmentally very imperative in the criteria talk to the functionality of, and the planning issues, as well as the capacity and the viability. So if you really unpack it. But probably, for us, if I can maybe speak about four slides of the challenges, which I really would like to support the Jewish forum and really have a conversation around this. What I thought the trend is number one. I've already alluded to it. We are seeing a trend that we are unable to explain. Where you have this clamor to have separate functions. I think before this war, we mentioned about, you know, those two more than 4, 8 years. That staff range, even so wait for metro, it is something that I think probably we would be interested and probably like to understand what that means. Is the failure of contamination or the failure of
what does this mean
of integration?
The name
is the name again. Well, it is sex based, flexa, lamlele, progress, real, way to. Well, there's quite a few. That is going to come. But you know, it is. These are not purely simple. In some cases, community action is mobilized around those issues. So it's not just a management. We still need to understand. We also like to support the fact that I think the issue of provincial boundaries are now becoming a constraint. And I think for lack of time, we let me put it this way. And if, for instance, you look at the issue around Tapos and Mawulu and the Pandebele Park, and this is just a discussion that one has to say. If you didn't have that provincial boundary in the river, you wouldn't have that, a problem. Because essentially, the functionality. But again, we can look, I think there's a slide that I think, I don't know whether it has been copied. You could see that almost over 101 municipalities, we can't, but they are basically back to back in terms of provincial boundaries. Provincial boundaries was a region. You can't do much about it. But I'm saying is that it's not within the board's mandate, but it's becoming now clearly something that limits options and probabilities of special realization. And this is something that has come up. In fact, some of the proposals that we rejected have actually arrived in some of the boundaries as well. We are also saying that we have had good support from and cooperation from the municipalities. Actually, if there's any consultation that I should say without any consultation, this particular process has been as far as our resources can take us as possible. But we still are still having challenges. And again, I'll come back to the issue of the fact that I had said we had municipal budgets prior when we had the problem. And in the case on hand, we, when we got a proposal for a proposed merger of the numbers, we had a meeting. We had a meeting. We had a meeting. Those meetings, they said, this is a proposal for the public. You support our dream. And the answer was affirmative. Then, and it's a very important case study because it tells how construction has been done. The next step, obviously, was for us then to say, okay, having done, and now we need to go back to the people by issuing Section 26, where everybody now knows that this is a problem before him. And then there may be very different explanations, but we know that it is the Section 26 notice meant to actually inform the people of the proposed boundary that part, the extra number. So essentially it is that people reacted on the basis of what they saw as probably the final proposed effect. Well, they saw it probably said that final to me. But there are a lot of explanations, and I'm sure the honorable members may have a much more informed view. But our interest actually seems to point out to say, despite those interactions with the wisdom and studies that we actually had, and we make no apologies because when we interact with the cancer, honorable chair, our assumption is that cancers are there to represent people. We expect that after injection, cancer will actually grow and inform and make awareness around it. The people are not aware of that. It becomes a challenge and a problem. So I'm not trying to you know, but I just want to give you our perspective, you know, from the court to say the weakest link, I think, in the country has been the quality, by not actually, you know, taking the responsibility. Because the purpose of us meeting with them was to empower them. And we make all the presentation and all these men for them to be able to communicate. But having said that, I always say that we have had a very much more contentious you know, proposal of amalgamating in six other cases, just other cases. But you know, every area has got its own features. Well, if indeed demarcation was the cause of that, we should have had taken the solution. So I think that the context is very important, that there could have been issues taking on the of which maybe education issue may have actually been impacted. One of my partners was saying, but you see, where the dissatisfaction was, even if you went there and hit the child on the road, the whole area would have erupted. So it was because they are very difficult the other challenge is the issue of the road transportation between the boat and the village. I think it's important. Again, the issue of the family. The boat is a constant body that is in the country. The boat cannot support it. The boat its decisions are taken independently, and but the board does account. I think it's important because there's always a view that, and certainly it's a view that it is understandable because we clearly get out of this through profit that there is a reporting arrangement. No, we don't want and then I think it will satisfy that we get it. So it was unfortunate that we recorded the area there was a case of the conviction because the minister said the water. But it was important that we clarify the fact that the decision on the boundaries was actually in the conversation. I just say I've just mentioned the fact that another child challenge is still public awareness, which is something that I've always said, you know, to my colleagues and the deputy chair has been basic driving this process that we should still make the public awareness intensify our efforts for it. The other challenges are really much more institutional. We did say that you know, currently there is only one full-time member of the board. Only one board member is full-time, very pretty the chair. We still because of the nature in which the board was initially conceived, we've always outsourced our capacity. And our view is that it's quite important that the increasing growth must be done now. The issue of stakeholder management and public participation can never be it can never compulse enough. I think it's still a challenge for the board. But I think it also links up to the full time complement of the board. And it's something that we have met as a proposal that maybe in the next board that should be reviewed. And again the issue of the mismatch between what the board is supposed to do, and the budget is always to make a complaint of every other operation. So that in our case, it becomes much more intense because, you know, our program is very, his body is very condensed. And we still have proposals that are in the falling apart in the board in the month. Chair, you recall that. I remember when I started, after the training, the board, people would say, "You and the sanitation board and the people in the
report."
You just have to accept it because it just won't help to say. But there's always a feeling that the board has a mandate for the cultural foundation. And it is something that I think has always been a challenge. I just put you know, this slide to actually explain the issue of financial boundaries, and something that possibly I think maybe some commission, we have a view in terms of the explain. I think maybe it's time now to look and review some of the boundaries. For instance, a point was made, and I think it may not necessarily be informed. That, you know, the boundary, for instance, between Northwest and Northern Cape, the large entire boundary of the current land. I remember asking that question there. Just for the minimum outcome, it's just a fair boundary. It's just a bad quality for the store, you know, for some reason. But I think these are some of the things that the review of the program may be looked at. So with those, we clearly thought maybe we should also share with you what we shared with the portfolio committee, that basically we still are committed to maintaining this portfolio engagement. We clearly are making a clear matching the commitment and resources to that project, and we see forums of the nature that are actually assisting us to actually intensify their awareness in terms of the work of the board, and that as well as to expand our stakeholder base. And this is basically saying, you know, in different ways, the public participation will remain our key focus. Institutionally, we have made steps to ensure that we now establish the unit. And what we're also planning to do is that we're currently, for the first time, once we finalize all this boundary determination process, we'll come up with a very comprehensive report that is actually explain the every case and the process that we have actually done for people who would be interested to actually see what were the criteria that the board used and how did you go about to look at that, especially the unit because it's internationally there. And again, the whole aim is to ensure that we take on the issues of the capacity assessment and hopefully ensuring that we do it now. But you know, gradually this way is going to get between our mandate and the result to get our mandate. I'd like to end the chairperson and the council member. And I'd be kind of to invite your questions.
Thank you very much, Chair. You might not be aware that your presentation was really eye-opening to some of us. Indeed, it's the first meeting we're having with the board. And some of the issues that you made here could have assisted the committee to manage a set of things when we interact with municipalities. Certainly, questions, this information will assist the board. It is part of the meeting that we're having. We are aware that from time to time we are meeting with portfolio. We should have done that also by yesterday. Particularly this committee, every time we are in municipal level, throughout the year, we are engaging with municipalities. All right, Honourable Member, let me just say thank you. We who will be better than the entire sum of us. And we now allow honorable members to engage further where you make recommendations and recommend and all so on. Why would you clarity, let's ask for clarity. Yeah, let's engage honorable Kunda, let's engage honorable. Let me first welcome you in this meeting. You have been part of the meeting previously, redeployed. Really back. We welcome you. We've been missing you every day. You are welcome, and also we welcome Honorable Tunga Makina. We have been missing you for some time.
Yeah.
And we try to meet all the special people where you were. You are welcome, Honorable
Member.
Yeah, welcome. And this is your committee, you know the committee. You're not going to be invaded by your leader. So, as you used to do. So, honorable members, let's engage with those. Honorable Ben, let me first to the
reset. Thank you, honorable chair. Thank you, Arden. I'd like to ask a question about the Mekong issue. What was the motivation to merge Mekong with the adjoining municipality? Was there any public meetings? What was the reaction from those public meetings? Then another point I'd like to make is about, you said you are not reporting to the minister, but during the Sasolburg strikes you made a statement in conjunction with the minister. And the third thing I like to ask is about the small municipality. You said you look at how the municipality can deliver services, and the Western Cape down Kanaland. Kanaland is four small towns, some on this side of the mountain and some on the other side of the mountain. And after they have paid the MM and the CFO, they haven't got money left. So they will never be sustainable. There's no hope for them to go ahead. But every time we talk about them, they nothing happens about them. But please, sir, thank you.
Mine is just I've listened to, and thank you for this very valuable information. Thank you very much. Yes, it truly Jefferson is right. For some of us, it's an eye opener. But my greatest concern with demarcation is exclusively in your criteria objective concerning municipal boundaries. When someone reads through your criteria objectives, there's nothing wrong with the criteria objectives. Then someone needs to ask yourself the question. A municipality like Mir in the Northern Cape, in the Kalahari, a municipality like Garis in the Makwale, a municipality like Lilliesfontein in Namakwaland, and a municipality like Ubuntu in Piktigatsene, where there are towns like Loxton, Victoria West, and Richmond. And when I look through this criteria, none of these things are existing in that municipality. None of it. I can prove to you today, you can take the helicopter now and go to Richmond now. There's nothing that communities can look out for tomorrow. Nothing. And it's part of a municipality who are 50 kilometers from each other. Then my question is, how then is it possible for communities like the Ubuntu municipality how can people exist where is everything is 50 to 60 kilometers away from them? There is no service, ordinary service for them. How then did the demarcation board come to that conclusion that Richmond must be there, Victoria Square, Richmond must be there? The last question is, isn't it possible for the demarcation board, or is there something that hinders you guys to do, because you received more than 1,000 proposals, some of them were not under Section 26. I can be very technical and ask the question, the people who put that proposal, were they aware of the Section 26 and what does Section 26 say? Were that information in the community? You can ask this question. So, how then is the demarcation board going about to assist the communities really in getting service? And the last question is, if you take the amalgamation, when we read through the report of the researchers of Parliament, you find out that the researchers are saying that the people in Zamdela and Sasselberg, they claim that they were never consulted. And here the demarcation board says they consulted the people. Now why does the people then fight to be merged with another municipality if they were consulted? Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. Please, members, that possibly it's a very important presentation. But, Chair, you know, I think the board must note that we have introduced ourselves as province. We represent the interests of province. That is one specific area. And I know in terms of the law, they consult more with the portfolio committee than this particular group, which makes it very difficult. That's why they don't have a lot of information. As you indicated, Chair, that we are more on the ground than the portfolio committee. But Chair, yes, let me firstly agree with Honda. How do you take the ward, precisely because your research unit, to me, seems to be slightly dysfunctional, or possibly they're not doing their work. Because you stretch a ward to such an extent that where, I'll take, you take Cullinan and Hammerscraft, which are two pools apart from each other. In the middle there's something, there's a buffer, like farms and whatever, in the middle of that. How do you expect that ward council to manage? If he's in Cullinan, how does he manage? Then you take part a little bit, about 20 to 30 houses in Mamelodi. Now, how do you manage that? And that's why I'm saying your research unit, because to me it seems you're playing the numbers game rather than trying to do what you're saying in as far as what Gunda has indicated. To make sure that you bring communities together, you deal with the past, you deal with all the issues you have raised here. And it becomes apparent with what has just happened now recently in the Western Cape. I mean with the by-election, where a community was told, no, you are not part of that specific ward, but you belong to a ward somewhere there. Now it tells you that, and to me, and that is one specific area, because that defeats what you say you are all up, you're about. You see, that defeats the issues you have raised, the most important areas that you have raised yourself today. That is the one area. The second area, Chair, is that communities, and I'm saying I'm coming from Gauteng. In Gauteng, are precisely moving towards what we call a provincial city, precisely to deal with some of the areas we're talking about. If you take the Vaal area, and if you take the West Rand, you know, what you specifically did in as far as Gauteng is concerned, you take the economic active areas, you put them one side, then uneconomic active areas, you put them one side. Now that balance is not there. You know, what you said you wanted to do, what you're trying to do in as far as in the areas you have raised. And that is the reason why communities in Gauteng feel it is important to move towards a specific, to make sure that what you thought you deal with the imbalances of the past. And that goes back to your research unit. And maybe just clarify us in as far as this particular situation is concerned, because I'm worried about your research unit. They might be misleading you in as far as we have gone through a lot of communities throughout the entire country. We have seen what has been happening. Yeah. I mean, you can't take a community this side of the mountain and then say and make it one word. Let alone one municipality. Just a word. Is that manageable? Because the economical activity of those particular communities will remain separately. That is why the developed will remain developed and developed further, and the underprivileged will. No, will become worse. Now this is what is happening within those particular communities, and that is the situation that we see on the ground. I mean, we have been into the Eastern Cape. I just can't remember those municipalities that we went to. And that is what we have experienced in those particular communities. We have been to Limpopo. We know exactly what is happening on the ground in as far as those specific areas. And I'm not sure as to how do you then come to the determinations that you're coming at or the conclusions that you come to in as far as that specific area is concerned. Thank you, Chair. I can see you're closing it down.
There's something, because there's a very important question. Just want to answer this question.
In the Parijs municipality in Uppington, it's Ward 13 or Ward 14. That ward is almost 90 kilometers. That is selling people 11 kilometers from Uppington, and then 83 kilometers into a farm is the very same ward. And I just want to bring that thing to Honorable Matila just said, how then, and here the municipality, I now know, the municipality has written a complaint, Karai municipality, Uppington, to the board, and the board has never rectified that thing. I'm just going out now and phone those people, I'm going to ask them to text me now those things from Uppington municipality, and I'll show it to you. Thank you, Chair.
You're working on the ground, Chair.
Wait.
So ask a good question and move out.
No, Chair, you cannot ask them to check the capacity. No, nothing. No.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the Chairperson of the Democratic Board and your team. My worry and my concern is Mbonsenzo from KwaZulu-Natal. I'm worried about Sabisa and the Big Five, basically, who left out Mdubadu. Our colleagues here, Basa Kulma Kono, mine and the lesbian, we take the town.
ukuthi ukuthi lokho ngekhulu ukuthi bese ngibekakhona kwasehlisiwe nasekunda amahlabisa ngokwazi kwami is no town there, yabo is Bundes, it's only main road crossing the what about in cooperate in to take umuntu waduka and ehlabisa and the big five together in one municipality. Another concern is concern about the Richards Bay and Umbonambi and Ntambanana. And Ntambanana, I think it's 4 or 5 or 4, it's a very small rural municipality, no town so ever. The only offices of municipalities there. And Wambonambi too. Another one is Inkanda and Melmoth. You see, Inkanda is no, it's only magistrate court and offices there. Yeah. I mean, my grandfather was sleeping there in the joint. I know that it's no town, but with what the board will look all of these things, in the end, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to
say,
thank you, Chair. I want to know from our board members. I'm from Bushbuck Ridge. I want to talk about Ward 32, where Ward 32 is divided by a big river, the Sand River or Wandlamari, and also falling the other side of Zuknok. I want to know about the rationale of just dividing the ward into two, but it's one ward, Ward 32, where there is a big river on both sides. And also, on the left of Zuknok, there is also a big river, Mtumuve, then where it's dividing this Elphas and this Banyaman, gum trees and the like. So where actually, maybe some of the people, there are no people actually, there are just gum trees on that side, and maybe about few houses on the other side. How do we tackle that? So because it's causing a real problem. And also Ward 14, of which is Dingle Day. Dingle Day and part of Ward 32, they are just separated by the third road. On the other side, there are just bushes up close to about 10 kilometers. There are no houses. How do we justify that? Thank you.
For Chair, I'll just, firstly, Chair, I must apologize for coming late. I forgot my tablet at home in Brimstone yesterday. So I had to start to come up first. I've not taken them now. They are still being organized. So if I call up here, you must understand. But Dr. Flo might help. Obviously, many things have been raised here, and I won't go back to them. But seriously, what Matile was saying, I think, to me, it's enough that the objectives, the criteria, and everything I've read there. The actual thing that is happening in terms of demarcation is different from what I'm talking about. I'm from Grahamstown, for an example. Kogama, I've seen you talked about Kogama there. Kogama is in my region. I'm working there. That's a hell of a thing. I can't understand how are those ward councillors going to service those people in such distances. They don't have money. They don't have even driver's license. Those areas are very rural. How are they going to service? This refragmentation stuff, I want the board to tell us, is it not emanating from the fact that people are unable to get the proper services? That when we are demarcating, we are saying we are doing it. For an example, in Grahamstown, Rhodes University is a ward. What is that? Ward 14? Ward 14? Ward 12. It's a university. What is that? What is going on? And again in Grahamstown, there's another ward, Ward 1. It moves from one side of the town, taking people from the farms. I think it's about 90 Ks from the township, a big area in the township, and removed from the funds. You know what usually happens? If the ward councillor is she doesn't have even a driver's license, she must find a way to go to this area. Now we're talking about integrated development. How is it going to happen in such distances? Because when they're having a ward meeting, those ones in Grahamstown, they will have their own meeting there in Grahamstown. And those ones in the farm, as Matilda was saying, they remain there, and for them is to talk to them in meetings, as long as there are meetings with them, and then nothing else. But that development, most of the time, where there are problems, is in town. Now, my comment is to say, I think, I was told last time about the demarcation board that you are using the helicopter. And now, if that is the case, I would suggest that at least in some of these things go, especially when there are objections. Because I remember we objected in Grahamstown, especially on these ones. This integration that we're talking about, Grahamstown is a nice example because there's town this side and then there's the township that side. One ward where I'm staying, it's people from the Shacks, quarter camps, then you get to the colored area, then the RDP areas, then the army, then us here in town, and very rich guys around the area where we stay. That is, if you look into that, that is really what maybe we want, is integration. But when you talk about services, the situation is totally different. In the same world, we are not being treated the same. Obviously, it's not your fault. It's something that has to do there at the municipality. But I'm trying to say, all your attempts that you are showing us here, Matilda, as he's saying, the action, the actual thing that is happening down there, it defeats the very same thing as I'm saying. Look, the word that I'm telling you about. You find that where I'm saying we don't complain that because when there's not cooking going to the water, we're told. But other people in the very same word, when they are not going to have water, they won't be told. And for us, water is not going to be said, you go and get it there, that corner. That truck goes in the street and it stops next to each and every house till we have enough water. But that has nothing to do with you here. I mean, you won't do anything, but the bottom line purpose and the point that I want to emphasize is that I'm worried about these big distances. And then, which to me, the answer of this recommendation that you're talking about is because of these big distances and also of not considering when people they are rejecting or going to them and explain to them. The last thing that I want to know, why do you demarcate every 5 years? Why is it? Why? There's a reason definitely, but it's just that I don't know. But I'm interested to know so that I can explain why every now and again the demarcation board is coming up with new boundaries. Thanks. And the last part, it said that I'm very worried. You know, I'm very interested to hear about it. Other things I want to ask, that thing you said something about Kokama there. I'll be very worried that if you can explain what is it that you are saying about Kokama. I know they've got complaints, and fortunately this weekend I've got a meeting in Kokama. It might help me to explain a little bit. Kokama Municipality. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair. No, Chair, you're 100% correct with your opening, with your remarks to say that this is an eye-opener, a briefing to some of us. And I can hear through the interaction of the members with the board. You see, Chairperson, personally, I think that we are shooting the messenger and not the actual the people that must answer. You see, reading through this thing, the role and mandate of the municipal board, it's not for them to inform communities. It is for the municipalities to inform the community. That is what I'm reading here. Now, you see, in one of the slides, legal processes, municipal demarcation board not obliged to hold public meetings and conduct formal investigations. Chairperson, now my question will then go and ask you, where does this 500, you have said in one of the slides, you are having 500 new proposals on that. Now I'm asking, who is submitting this proposal of these boundaries? Because all of us are crying about this demarcation and what, but from who is this thing coming? Now you see, Chairperson, the problem in Sasselbeck was a problem of, I think, a lack of knowledge. That is the reason why. Well, there's other political undertone, as the Chairperson has said, a small thing has sparked that thing, and it erupted like that. Now we must point fingers at the municipalities. Who is not doing that? But Chairperson, my other question is that I see here that the municipal demarcation board is directly accountable to Parliament and not to the minister. With other words, to the two committees. The NCOP committee, this committee, and the portfolio committee. I think that we must interact more with the demarcation board, this board, to have more. Chairperson, the issue of publishing notices in the media, I think it's very complicated. Because not all our people are educated. I think that we must have another way in interacting with a broader society. Because in the media, it is there in the media, and I mean, they can defend themselves to bring the advert to say that we have published this thing. But the people on the ground, including myself, I've never seen. Let me make an example of Kroonstad and Edenville. I have never seen that proposal, and it's going to affect me. I mean, I'm a member of parliament, but I've never seen that. What about the ordinary person in the street? I'm saying, Chairperson, let us maybe try and have other ways and means to communicate with our people. Then we will avoid the type of things that has happened in Sasselbeck. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just before the I think we will raise this particular issue precisely because you see we can't, and the point I'm raising, Chair, is that if the chairperson of the demarcation board goes publicly and we see him on TV say nobody else has the final decision but the demarcation board in as far as demarcation is concerned. No? You can't blame municipalities about this. You see? Which is the problem. Now it also tells, it goes down to consultation. Now
who, because you might be consulting, if you look at the process here laid out, you consult the stakeholders you're consulting more with, state institutions and whatever, rather than the people that are affected on the ground. You see, which is the point, and that is the reason why some of the issues we are raising are coming out here. You see, the issues around two poles apart, or is it about numbers? Because if how does a mayor protect something if the board has got a final say around how is it demarcated? You see, even if the mayor wants some changes, this has to happen. It won't happen because the board has got a final decision. You see, and that is the situation, because they are controlled, because there are numbers involved. At some point, we were told, in as far as demarcation is concerned, that they need to also balance the numbers. You can't exceed these numbers, you can't be lower than this number. That's what we were told, in as far as demarcation is concerned. And that is the situation that we are worried about. But that is the point I wanted to raise, Chair.
I'm waiting for the facts. I hope it comes before the board leaves here. But there's one thing, Chair, that we must bear in mind. The demarcation of boards demarcate the wards of each municipality. It is not the municipality who decides how big that ward is. It's a demarcation board that says, this is the boundaries of this ward. Isn't it so? It's a demarcation board that says, this is the boundaries of this ward. And that's why I want us to be clear. I'm not blaming the ward, the demarcation board. I'm asking questions for clarification because I know what I'm talking about. And that ward that I said is about 90 kilometers. It's 165 kilometers. It's very, very big. It's very, very big. So I just need a clarification. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable member. Before can I request for attention?
No.
The promotion is too high. Can do things quite so that we're able to listen to each other. Did the demarcation board created by the constitution that we parliament has written, and we call them here to brief us on in the processes that they are taking. And I know that we are all from one. There's no single member who cannot complain in terms of one in one way or another. But I thought we'd concentrate on the hearing issue, the process. Of course, noted all what you are saying practically from various places, but we need to assist the body and ourselves, because their presentation point to critical issues that cause the problem on the ground. We must come with recommendations. Especially the two houses. So if our system has created this problem, what do we do? If we said to the board that one criteria that makes us establish a ward is population of so many people, and if a village doesn't meet that, what do we do? Squeeze it to elsewhere. Well, because of the problem. I think these are some of the things that maybe the public, let's note them. And after they clarify, and see how we can change the system, because it causes a problem. Not only in a concentrated area. Even in the concentrated area, people will complain, so you have moved us from here to that. How do we assist? Because in the main, that would be my approach. While we welcome members to raise issues of 150 kilometers, but still that is not okay. I've seen a demarcation separated by a mountain which causes a problem. It's many areas. We needed to understand this. And the question that also there is only one full-term person as parliament, what do we say? If that is determined by parliament, how does it assist to deepen democracy and really grow economy? One person. So these are, I thought, these are some of the issues that we will engage on, not now, but as the process goes forward. Maybe let me give the demarcation protocol to the questions
that honourable members have raised. Thank you very much, Chair. You know, there have been a number of questions that have been raised. But can I just say up front, I did say at the opening that this was timely. Perhaps maybe what would be useful, Chair, is that at some stage, as I was indicating in terms of the process, it may be useful for the board to address this committee on ward, specifically on ward, and in a way that I think the committee has actually moved ahead of us. But I think it actually illustrates the fact that. You know, we need to engage more, and I can only also state the fact that once again appreciate a very good opportunity. Ideally would have liked to engage with this committee more regularly. I have no doubt about it. The effectiveness of the committee is not allowing me to. I don't know if you can bear me out, I think we'll try to maybe I think it's an international kind of a problem. But having said that, I let me deal with just maybe a different set of questions. Maybe we can deal with the one that you need to talk about. One of the background that he has raised about the origin of the proposal, Smith Garden, and supporting lines of the kind. The proposal were received by the board from actually more than one person, but more essentially from the MEC party. There was an interaction. As I already indicated prior to the Section 26 motion, whereupon the proposal was further clarified. There was, I've already said that we had concluded a public meeting, which I happened to chair in City Bank, in public offices, which are in Thunder Bay. Meeting which was well attended. As I'm sitting here, obviously having had a couple of meetings and having indicated the work that needs to be done in terms of investigation, we're satisfied that we have sufficient information for us to take a view on. So I think the whole process where sort of I will probably maybe I'm not quite sure the case of the Salandian, but let me make another point in principle, and I think Honorable has just raised the issue. I think there's also a balance whether we should demarcate every 5 years or whether we should leave the issues. I considered from the beginning that the first point is to do things right. And I think as we learn and understand these areas, they need to be corrected, but there's a particular structure that we must also, in a balance with the fact that we need to actually Actually, that's one of the reasons why we treat every person is to test it for the issues that come up in terms of the boundary. So I think it is something that we can in terms of what is the thinking that is coming up, not necessarily from the board, but generally. One of the points I know is the issue of not communicating and the difference. Let me start from the point that, it's very clear that I think your issue was around the municipalities themselves and maybe even in other world. Not only case presents a and I think this is where it's a matter, maybe some say that the committee will have to sit itself with and they should see what they change. Let me answer it by making an assumption. Yes, the criteria covers every other area of the state, but we know that that is not the idea. In the sense that these municipalities, I know some of them have got about, there was a time when some of them didn't have any wards, I think some of them have got about 3 wards, 4 wards. Clearly, there is always a temptation to collapse with municipalities and amalgamate them to make much more viable. But I think we must also understand the fact that demarcation is purely enabler. You can't demarcate against poverty. There are certain issues that need intervention other than shifting boundaries. There are certain realities that one must take into account. But the issue of size, and I think you see in our slide, it is something that I think we've conducted the issue of size is one of the most vexing ones. What should be the optimal size of the municipality for it to be able to do the same? But you have to understand that the manner in which the first board also dealt with this policy, they had to follow a particular approach. And it's true that they had to deviate from what was given. That's why, the reason why also the demarcation board was kept at the financial board to see how you could from time to time do it. The fact that, for instance, if I can make other examples. In Pumalanga, we've got about 25 municipalities, in Kedia, then about 61, and Kedia was almost equal size. It actually shows that the manner in which the country has been endowed is not very easy, but also it shows some kind of consistency. Because Kedia then decided to say we need to less municipalities than we actually can afford. So there's always been a way that we should try to relook at these municipalities and actually align them to the criteria. But I thought I must just deal with the issue of amalgamating for the sake of amalgamating. There's always an argument, for instance, that sometimes big is not necessarily better. And we have also learned from the experience. One of the first amalgamations that the board has done coincidentally was a town in Northwest, and I'm sure some of the members will remember, called in the boundary of the town of Northwest. A town where the population of about 15,000. Almost 90% unemployment. And yet, before that area, I think it's called Pompey. That used to be an expensive capital of the country. But because of the discontent of the problem, that area is depressed. While the time is made, we can, but still, there are challenges. So, in other words, there's some other things. The board can only be that they need a much more other interventions to make those areas viable. Now I'm talking about outer boundaries. The issue of wards, and I think I'm generally and I'll also address the issue that Honorable Honorable raised. what indeed is the number thing? There are two principles that guide the manner in which work is done. Firstly, is the issue that every word in that instrument must have the same number of pieces. Second one is the issue of word instrument, which means by sensing every question of the country must be under a municipality or a ward. Now, what then actually happens where there's a sparse population, you need to cover a lot of ground to make up the number, in other words, the registered voter. Because, and yet, yes, the reality is that because of the distance, that vote becomes unmanageable. But I think the approach, that's why when we speak about vote, we actually see, ironically, that actually the vote plays a very minor role. The type of special act, the minister issues a formula upon which that determines the size of the municipality. And the NEC of the various provinces determines the number of councillors. The minister issues a formula, NEC determines the number of councillors. And from that, then the board used the number of councillors to determine the vote. So the driver, and I think the driver is the minister and the MEC. What we have often found is that in some cases, the MECs of various provinces, and particularly in the last election, increased the number of countries, which basically means that once you change, even if you change, you increase by two, you need to reconfigure the whole world and rebalance, So really at the board, when it comes to the world, and the world actually kind of discusses, we maybe implement what has already been implemented. But yes, indeed, we need to ensure that those votes have for the same number of registered voters. But the formula has been determined by the minister and the extra number of councillors in the party by the so the parameters are really there. So as I was listening, I was actually almost convinced that contrary to what maybe the view is, when it comes to the word support, it's just like a trap for it implements what has been done. But I think there's a view that probably maybe we need to revisit that. I can give you an example in some other areas. In Canada, for instance, which is what a similar feature where you've got a country and they've got a similar approach. But where, in areas from where there's a local identity of our country, the board is given discretion to deviate from the norm. Because here we only deviate by about 10%. Yeah. Yeah. Some opponents have said you can deviate about 40% of the norm, just to ensure that then rather than you don't have to have large words to be able to. In other words, large words to be able to make up the number. Mm-hmm. You can deviate from the norm and not being an average. So it's a modality issue that could easily be relooked at because the country is uneven. Okay. Now, as I said, the world is a bit involved. So the parameters are normally laid there. I can remember because at the point we started when we started with the world. One thing that we did, Honorable Martin, I met all the MECs, one by one. The basically said to them, we're going to start with the organization. See, the structure will don't change the numbers. So change numbers, we need to not change the numbers. So I think one of the concerns we had was that, you'd like to keep the world at least the majority as stable as possible. But I think it's a very common cause that in fact there was an increase of 10% across the board. So they have to be written. Unfortunately, one of those things that and I'm sure there will be an opportunity, not this board, but certainly our successor to explain to you the word process and the collaborative process that actually, ironically, the MEC is still a very critical of the legitimate and number of which so if there are 10 councillors in that area that the MEC has in terms of section 18, we divide those by two, then we know we must have five. The parameters are actually done. I want to say that we would like to address much more the issue of the word because after this process, it will be the word condition, and I'm having here comments. I'm almost convinced that this committee will be very useful in terms of actually. I guess the issue about my comment still goes to the issue that was raised about in Harare. To some extent, also in the world. I would be, and certainly I was speaking to the Egyptian community, it would be quite useful for us to get those specific details. Because we might think 2015 is far away, 2013 is actually here. Well, I think that would be an opportunity to correct precisely those areas. Now, under normal circumstances, obviously, the word must be the most granular and the most unit of socialization. So it shouldn't be divided by very features like the mountain and the river. So there must be an attempt must be done to ensure that it doesn't have what in those features. Like I have already pointed out to say. We really only play a minor role in terms of the world boundaries. I wanted to mention the last point according to words. Because words are election events, we also work jointly with the IEC. Currently, we use IEC's voting district as a building block for the world. So in other words, we cannot even do the word the manner in which we need to actually ensure that when you have the word, it is composed of all the IEC voting districts. It's like, I don't know whether the language is okay, it's like in May, you must type this room, and the off-cut is done for you already. IEC does their own voting district. So that's normally kind of pattern that will be given. But certainly, that's how we normally get in a proposal when we actually engage in some sort of action. I'm sure that the Chair could add in terms of the issue of WhatsApp data and the big five raised by one of the. This is a proposal currently before. I know for a fact that big part is that proposal that will result in the PSL in the study, so to speak, the issue of the Chester and Tamalan, I'm not quite so sure, but I know for a fact that the issue of the word 14 is required. Again, it's the same story to say. We must look what are the problems. And the opportunity to correct that will only happen in a few months' time. where we now, you know, look at all the words and then see whether things, you know, are they still consistent with the criteria in terms of the work. Now, because of the numbers, that's why you would find, and I'm not necessarily saying I'm justifying that. Probably we think road happens to be an error that was a lot of concentration of people. So it became But like I said, the principle of having equal number of registered voters the world is the one that kind of it is a concern. It's a principle that makes our world to be very far, and we you can't have a space that doesn't have both words. You can't say no, the world can't get the world as far. Then have a no man's land. They have to work to work. And I think that is something that we have actually been following. I would welcome one of the groomers actually said as well about much more consultation, because I think this is something that it is really ironic that let's indeed, if you look at the Demarcation Act, there is so much emphasis. And this is how the act was structured initially, on the important role of provinces, particularly of the NSA. And yet, for some reason, I think the forum that is being able to actually oversee that process has not been. So I think we are hoping that this interaction should be the first of many that will come. And we would be, I want to still, you know, repeat the issue that I think we need to, you know, engage with this. Yes, we recognize the weaknesses, one of whom of media and newspaper as a way of narcissism in the media, as a way of inviting the community to participate. One option we were looking at is because it is a compliance, it basically says it's compliance issue, but we must send this notice to the national media and the media association in that area. You know, the act basically says by radio or other appropriate means. So I was thinking, but how do you compete in that by radio? So I think it's part of the thing that relations must look at to say there must have been an intention, but maybe this act needs to be modernized to see how we could ensure that it must be biased towards actually ensuring that the opportunity. But we have been looking at because I'm sure the still can speak around this, not so much in terms of just the media, but actually going to the better form of where we actually put up the new children that are actually current and they're obviously trying to use as far as possible community registration to direct people to where they can get information. I may have skipped through, but I still want to say that I'm of the view that Honorable Chair, a dedicated session on ward process would really answer much more detail some of the issues that have been raised around that.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for all these questions. As the chairperson has said, it does indicate that we need to engage more. As they say, we have tried, to reach out, but we're now focusing on the outer boundaries. But let me, I just want to add to what you're saying about wards. You know, again, the board is, you know, people think that it's the board, actually, that actually determines this. No. We just a final officer. What we do when it is war time, I'm not even talking about what we're doing at the moment, we're talking about what we're going to be doing very soon, war delimitation, and that is what we've been doing proactively. Because this one, outer boundary determination, we're doing proactively for the first time. Because, number one, as the chairperson indicated, it is a developmental state. People are developing awareness. We also want people to engage. We are empowering them. We went out there for a reason to ensure that people engage. And that is why we actually found that we had such such a number of proposals. We really felt proud of that, because that is, you know, engaging people. But also because of the size, because of the resources that are available to us, we are unable to do it alone and fully as much as we would like to. But we are using partners. There was a question here about that we engage with state institutions. Yes, we deal with that, but we try to move to all the institutions that would be stakeholders in terms of the law and also in terms of the, you know, the stakeholders that are, that have an interest in that way in this process. However, we go beyond. We've gone beyond, in many instances. In KZN, for example, we partnered with IEC to go to even local areas, local traditional authority areas, you know, where they wanted us to sit up. We went there, we engaged, we explained to them long before the legal process where we were expected to consult. So, as a board, we've done our bit. But also our partners, and what am I saying about our partners? SALGA is a partner. We engage with them and we ensure that they are part of our committees so that they actually go out and with their stakeholders. COFTA, the Cooperative Governance Department, including the traditional authorities and the traditional affairs department within COFTA, you know, are our partners. We expect them, you know, even when we were at the provincial houses, we said we're unable to go to all the locals. So what we expect the department, you know, to actually take it forward and ensure that everyone is engaged. Municipalities have got the responsibility of public participation. Now, when we actually give information, we expect them to engage stakeholders. You know, even when we started in June, as Honorable Member Bloom indicated, they are the ones that were actually supposed to engage us and then come back. You know, we do that. However, we know that in some instances it's not done, so we go an extra mile, you know, and ensure that our stakeholders, particularly when we actually have meetings, we always gather, the register, and we ensure that although we're putting a circular, we also send to those members who have been to some of our meetings to ensure that they are, you know, they participate, you know, as much as they can. But as I say, we're doing our bit, but we're trying more, and we need resources. We need a structure that will also be able to carry this, so that it will take it to the limit. However, I'm sure the CEO will say, you know, even in terms of, you know, engaging the public now, we are using all the languages, indigenous languages. When we go to an area, we'll go with the presentation in English as well as the local language to ensure that it is accessible, you know, to people there. But also we're on radio, on Twitter, on Facebook. We're trying, to ensure that we're expecting those that get information again to spread it, you know, so that more and more people are involved. But I also want to say, with wars in particular, all we do after the process that has been explained by the chair, all we do is we divide by two because of the proportional representation system. We divide by two. We don't decide ourselves as to how we're going to carry now after the MEC and the Minister of Public Health. But we just divide by two, and that is it. And that's all we do. So we do not determine, you know, how many wards there are. You know, it's simply, you know, the end result of all the steps that have been taken. But as I say, even then, we do not decide that this is how this world should be, but what we say, we are saying we should have so many number of registered voters in this world, and this is how you can do it. Then start, do it anyhow. So if the people themselves who decide and they pull it, and if it agrees, we pull it out even when we actually have said, okay, this complies, and we actually take it out and say, objection. And that is the time now for people to object, no, there is a river that crosses this, there's no way we can. Because we encourage municipalities, also when they are, these proposals go through municipal offices, you know, say, go physically and verify that actually this is, and then come back to us. And then we even put our GIS staff you know, at their disposal, so that they may assist them, you know, if their data sets are not good, to actually use ours and assist them in actually making their proposals. So we try our bit in this regard. And then with Tabisa and Kusuwe, they spoke two proposals from there. The one was some parts of the five to go back to the area, and there was a we're not in the final stages because as a board we haven't said to actually consider what people have said, but let me say the amicable discussions have been held and people have indicated and from both sides as to what they want to have. But then there's also another one of the disestablishment of the and even that one is still, you know, in the process. So I cannot say much because really we have not taken a decision on this. They're still on the table, there's still room to actually engage and give input. That is. Yeah. And then on areas such as roads, it actually comes back to that thing of saying, you know, again, yes, the game the numbers game, but
okay.
Municipalities. I think I've actually covered the main things.
I'm going to stop here, but to Captain. I will have some proposals that will assist me.
Yeah.
Honorable members, I'm proposing a summit for the organized. A summit because there are various stakeholders at play here. Ministers, ADC, SALGA, no, even those that I don't know. That will be that summit like with those local government women, but specifically on demarcation. So that all of these views should come to assist the demarcation process because there are many things that can come and assist, including data assembly must be wired, computer computing, whatever. So that maybe in that summit we can emerge out of that better with a way forward. I know now we have a way forward, there are lots of things that we are recommending, but I tell you the summit can be a major space. Let me take it to the August, if the honorable members agree.
Yes.
So that the second time I start communicating with demarcation board, working together to see how this, also what type of presentation that would need on that day. We don't need much presentation. We would need much, of course, on the demarcation side, and the ministry, whatever. And then from there, members will engage in it. We assist this process because the issue is the system matter. No one can correct everything, but we need to make sure that we look at the system and the models that the chairperson of the location process raised, all those things, and see how best can we come up with the best model. It doesn't mean that there's no progress. They've done a much, much huge progress in terms of demarcation. But within that, we are learning some of the challenges that we get. And see, maybe we can leave a legacy as a committee.
We're endorsing it.
Let me thank the members of the organization. Yes, yes, we thank you very much. Who would meet at the summit. I think that's where we get more and more of whatever, even other
Because a lot of things can be resolved at that level. They can communicate with you to say who must be in the area. This thing is very, very complex.
Yeah. Looking at the distance, you may think that things are
Yeah.
So they are not. No, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I'll be there in that summit.
Yeah?
I'll be in that summit.
Thank you.
But you are in my team. Sorry, I was Mama.
Honorable members, please, but second item. Some of us here, and what is the item that who all need your approval, to formalize approval of what we decided on. We are...
In terms of item 3, I'll move for the extension of the intervention. It is unfortunate that Mbabazana was not the member that were there contending. But for the third one, I can move.
Supported. End objection. Members were interested with both issues. I don't expect any
objections.
Yes. Are we agreed with
both?
Again.
Both, yeah.
Thank you very much. The meeting is again.
Thank you. I'm not sure
what a long day today.
Thank you. Very long.
Going up to 7:00 tonight.
Huh?
Yeah. The security meeting starting at 5:00.
I don't think I'm going to attend the joint meeting.
No. So that you can be ready for...
I'll attend after that.
Okay.
After the joint meeting, there's a house, huh?
Yeah, we're going to be planning.
Plenar.
Yeah, that's an hour.
I'll attend that one.
No, thank you.
Okay.